this topic to be the one that kicks off this year's BIF convention. I mean, it's pretty neat to me that the very first presentation of the entire BIF meeting has the word sex and semen in the same title. So we're going to be doing pretty good. So the drinks are going to keep rolling. But that's a joke. And I promise you, I've been with Sexing Technologies now for 4 years, and I've heard every joke that there is in the book. Some of you, in fact, are in this crowd that I've tried to email, but because you work for university, your firewall won't let my email get to you because my email is ddean@sexingtechnologies.com. So I really do appreciate you guys letting us be here. The title for this BIF, Where Profit and Progress Intersect, can't be any more perfect for that topic right there. You given where our nation is with our cow herds right now, this is a tool that gets you where you want to be extremely fast. It's a lot better product now than it was 10 years ago, and we've got the results to prove it. But you're not going to be hearing that from me. You're going to be hearing that from the gentlemen up here in front that are going to give you some third-party verification of that. A couple of slides about Sexing Technologies very quickly. We're a very diverse company. I had four questions about this earlier before I came up. People said, who the heck is Sexing Technologies? Well, we're 10 miles south of College Station. We've got quite a few different profit centers. We're the largest live cattle exporters in the Northern Hemisphere now. We have our own feed business. We just opened a feed efficiency bull test, the only one of its kind in the South. We have an embryo business, plus we sort semen. So anything we think we can get make a buck out of that's somewhat related to sex semen, we're going to do it. But everywhere where you see a star on that map is where we have an office. So the question or not, is sex semen growing? Well, that slide answers that. The newest one is actually in India. We're going into India to put an office. A lot of people think, well, aren't cattle sacred in India? Well, sure they are, but they drink the milk. They have the largest cow herd in the world there. When the Holstein bull calves are born, they wean them and let them go. And there's literally, because they can't do anything to them, there are literally gangs of Holstein and Jersey bull calves running up and down the villages in India. So we're going in there with the government to try to help fix that. So sex semen is growing very, very fast. It's growing very fast in this country as well. Before I get to this one, if I can go back. We did not invent this technology. Our all-knowing, our all-powerful, our 100% right every time government did a few years back. They invented the technology that can sort semen, but the machines were originally developed to sort stem cells. They figured out later, hey, you can run semen through it, sort different gender sperm cells the same way. I'm not a lab tech, so some of you may in this room may know more about it than I do, but I'm going to do my best that I can. So we didn't invent it. Our government did. We were not the first company to do it. A lot of you have heard of a company called XY. It's based out of Fort Collins, Colorado. They were the first group to do it. Sexing Technologies already existed at the time. We were a bull stud just south of College Station. We applied to be a sub-licensee of XY. That was in 2004. You move forward to 2007, Sexing Technologies buys out XY. Sexing Technologies now exists. XY still exists. XY still has the exclusive license to that USDA patent. It's just that Sexing owns XY. Okay, so if you look on this map, or on this picture, we have a semen sorting agreement with pretty much every major bull stud in the world. And they have set semen sorting machines at their offices, at their bull collection centers, that make sex semen on the bulls in their catalog. So you see a lot of the companies up there, GenX, their product's called GenChoice. ABS's is called Sexation. You have CMEX. Theirs is called CMEX as well. So a lot of the different ones up there you've seen before. And it's growing like gangbusters. So the only reason that I'm even here talking to you is because we've been able to take a gift from Mother Nature and turn it into a commercial reality. That's because in all mammals, everything from dogs, cats, chinchillas, even Shamu, every time a sperm cell is formed, that sperm cell either gets issued an X-bearing or a Y-bearing chromosome. And we have sorted all those species, by the way. So those are all the main species that we work with right now that we have a commercial division within. And that's a picture of the female, the X-bearing chromosome on the left, and the Y-bearing on the right. And in between beef and dairy cattle, there's about a 3.9% difference in the amount of DNA between the X and the Y. The X has about 3.8 to 3.9% more DNA within it than the Y. So it's bigger. So those are the main species that we're working with right now. A lot of people have never seen a bull get collected. If you could, in the back, if you could take the mouse, put it over that picture and hit and click it. This is at our collection facility. When I'm in a place like Oregon, I have to explain what that animal is in the bag. That's called a Brahman. So the bull gets collected. That's at our facility, but that same thing happens at all the different facilities. And we do, at our facility in Texas, about 50 bulls a day, roughly. The one person you don't want to be in that equation is that collection steer, because it's just all day long. If you really don't like somebody in the world, you need to wish they get reincarnated as a collection steer, because it's not a great life. But we have our own bulls that we market semen on, okay? We have people that bring us bulls to our headquarters, and all the major bull studs have bulls they collect semen on. So the bull gets collected, then we have to look at the quality of that ejaculate. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not a reproductive physiologist. What I've had to learn has been grind, hard-nosed experience working for this company. But we in the beef industry do not select for semen quality anywhere close to what they do in the dairy industry. And that's been an eye-opener for me. But that's because we don't do as much AI, but that's growing. So for an ejaculate to make it on the semen sorting machine, it has to pass those six quality control points. And the one that's probably going to keep a beef bull or a dairy bull, for that matter, from getting on the semen sorting machines are going to be what we call morphology issues, head and tail problems, primaries and secondaries, bent heads, broken tails, that kind of thing. Bulls do come out of that. Bulls need to be collected for a little while. They need to be cleaned out until they start throwing a fresh ejaculate. And these guys are going to talk about that too. But from what I've seen, that's the main reason that a beef bull doesn't make it on the machine, are going to be those primary and secondaries. We do have some bulls that never come out of it, which means they've been at our facility for 7 months and never given an ejaculate even remotely close to being able to be sorted. So that bull's got a genetic inherent issue of producing head and tail problems all the time, and they go home. I would also say this. I get asked this question a lot. What percent of the beef bulls that get collected are not able to be sorted? My experience, day in, day out, it's going to be about 22-23% of the beef bulls that come to us cannot be sorted because they've got way too many genetic problems with head and tail issues. So here's the semen sorting machines. You've got the two machines in the middle. You've got a tower on either side. And this is an older model, and I don't have the newer models up here right now. Actually, not legally able to show them, but that's all right. What's interesting about this equipment, if you break open the back of your Sony plasma flat-screen TV at home, you're going to find a lot of the same parts in there, or we just use them for a different purpose. So here's a close-up of the semen sorting machine. When we jump the bull, we take the ejaculate, we dye it with this red fluorescent stain. That red fluorescent stain coats the sperm cells. Remember earlier I said that female-bearing chromosome is bigger than the male. So that female-bearing sperm cell soaks up more of the stain than the male does. So at the end of the day, the only way we can tell a difference, or these high-tech machines can tell a difference between a male or a female, is that the females shine brighter than the males at the end of the day. That's really it. It's not that complicated. So you can see the sample there in the test tube that's with that red fluorescent color. It's sucked out of there through that green tube in the middle part of the machine. So in the middle part of the machine, put this pointer down real quick. In the middle part of the machine, where the ejaculate goes, you have what's called a piezo crystal that's in its own compartment. Directly below the piezo crystal in another compartment is the sheath fluid. Now that sheath fluid is just like oil. It's just a buffer for the machine. It's a buffer for the semen to travel through. So the piezo crystal is vibrated at 90,000 times a second directly over the sheath fluid. What that does, as the sheath fluid exits that container, it vibrates it fast enough to where it's basically put into droplets, microscopic droplets that shoot down in the stream. Down through the top of the piezo crystal is where the red fluorescent stained ejaculate goes. It passes through the crystal into the sheath fluid, and a single sperm cell goes into every individual droplet. And that happens at about 20,000 times per second, or 20,000 cells per second. So it's moving on. So every little droplet of sheath fluid that passes through has a sperm cell in it. On the left-hand side, you can see a black tube on the left to the right. That's a laser that comes across and hits every sperm cell, and based on the brightness difference, says, okay, that's a male or that's a female. Well, it's one thing to be able to recognize a male from a female sperm cell based on the brightness difference. It's a complete separate issue to be able to say, okay, males, now you go this way, and females, you go this way. Okay, so the way we do that is that the sperm cells that we're interested in, the machine gives those sperm cells an electrical charge. The ones we're not interested in, they don't get an electrical charge and they pass by as waste. You see the X and the Y samples there directly above. Let me keep rolling here. I've got this graphic. Hope you can see it. You got the piezo crystals up at the top. The raw ejaculate passes through. Every individual sperm cell is in its own droplet. You've got the laser recognizing the male or females and giving the male or females the electrical charge. They pass a little bit further. A magnet on either side will pull the male cells one way and pull the female cells the other. Okay, so anything we don't want, anything that's dead, the machine recognizes dead cells. Anything, think about this, what about all the male Holstein or the male Jersey semen? When we sort those bulls, they don't get an electrical charge. They pass through as waste. So most of the time when we sort an ejaculate, there are just two exit streams out of the bottom of the machine. There's the waste stream, which is everything we don't want. To the left or to the right of it will be the gender that we do want. Now, you do have those bulls that come in where the customer wants both male and female. If that's the case, the male might get a positive charge, the female might get a negative, and the magnet will pull those either way, and you have three streams. You've got a waste stream, a male stream, and a female stream. And they shoot down into those test tubes at 60 miles an hour and into a buffer there as well. So when the machine is sorting through an ejaculate, recognizing the brightness, recognizing the cells, and deciding what it is, it plots those sperm cells up on this graph for us. So above every semen sorting machine is a flat screen monitor, and we see this sucker moving. If it's sorting through an ejaculate, that thing will look like a Christmas ornament. It'll just be alive with little red data points that are appearing. So on the bottom left, you have the dead sperm. On the top, you have the live sperm. Well, every time the machine recognizes a sperm cell as being alive, it's not always 100% confident that it knows what it is. Basically, it gives each sperm cell what you might call a confidence interval. It says, okay, I'm 95% confident that I know that's a male or female. That's going to be the dark blue-green areas, just like reading a weather radar. On the left-hand side of the live sperm area, that's going to be the sperm cells that might only have a 50% confidence interval that the computer knows what they are. So on the right, in the middle there, you see the two different yellow areas. Let me see if I can get this laser going. Okay, no laser. You see the X sperm and Y sperm on the bottom. That's the female. That's a close-up. The two yellow areas are a close-up of the dark-colored blue-green areas on the top left. The females plot on the top. The male cells plot on the bottom. Because they took the mouse and put the little grid around the females and the grid around the males, that tells the computer to give both of them an electrical charge. All the dead, all the low confidence interval Y cells will not get an electrical charge, and they pass through as waste. So here's a close-up. You have the exit stream at the top. At the exit stream, it's already been dyed. It's already been recognized. It's already been given the electrical charge. Passes through a little bit further. On the left and the right, you've got the two magnets, and you have the waste stream you see in the middle. If you could hit the black area, we'll watch another quick graphic. You can see how the male and the female are different colors. They pass through. The laser recognizes them, gives them the electrical charge, and then they move on and get pulled by either magnetic plate. Here's an Angus bull that we sorted not too long ago. A customer called and wanted only female sperm cells. So in this case, all the male on the bottom, all the dead, were thrown away. Now, we collect a lot of semen, just like a lot of these guys do. And believe it or not, we collect all the waste semen. And it's kept in this big stain. I've never told you this, Willie, but it's collected in a big stainless steel container under the lab. And it's actually pumped through the sprinkler system that sprinkles the Bermuda grass out on the lawn. So when you guys come to visit and you bring your kids, don't let them run through that sprinkler because there'll be all kinds of creepy crawlies running all over. When we get UT grads, we tell them, go run in the sprinkler, it's great. So the next question, okay, well, this guy's up here talking about this cool technology, but is it 100%? Well, no, nothing in life is 100%, and this is for sure one of them that's not 100%. But it's dang well close. We dictate the purity. We dictate what percent of the sperm cells in that straw are the gender that we say they're going to be. Okay, all the default straws that we make are minimal 90% pure. meaning that 90% of the sales in that straw, the gender we say they're going to be. So we jump the bull. Let's say the customer wants 100 straws. We jump the bull. We actually make 103 straws. One of those extra straws, we thaw it out the next day, and we run a purity analysis on it. We run that straw back through the semen sorting machine. So up there at the top, HO, this is Holstein Bull 6055. This was a purity analysis done on a straw from a batch, and that straw came out to be 92% pure. We can ratchet that down if we need to. We can ratchet that back up to 98, 99% if we want to. But that's slower, and it costs more money because the labor is an issue. But everything that we make is default 90% pure. Okay, what about the economic relevance? I think I've missed a slide here. Just a second. I sure did. The other part of the post-thaw quality control is the actual percent mobility of those sperm cells. Okay, when you take it home and thaw it out and use it, we want to make sure it's alive when you use it. So we burned one of them to do the purity analysis. We have another couple of straws. We thaw one of those straws out and look at the post-thaw motility immediately. It's got to be at least 55% motile under the microscope immediately when we thaw it out. The other straw, we thaw it out and let it sit for 3 hours and look at it 3 hours later. It's got to be a minimum 30% motile 3 hours later to pass. If it passes that, everything looks great. We send it to the customer. And we have a video archive of every single bull that's ever been sorted. Okay, so we can prove what the motility of that semen looked like when it left our facility and went to the customer. So I'll touch on this real quick. What's the economic relevance of this stuff? You know, you only should use it if one gender is worth more to you than the other one. What about those different species? You know, you don't go to a PBR event and watch females buck. Nobody comes down from New York City and pays $20,000 to shoot a doe. How much more valuable is a tiger stripe heifer than a tiger stripe steer? In all these different cases, one gender is worth quite a bit more than the other one, and that's where we use sex semen. The one in the middle is really interesting to me. If someone is taking the time to perform AIRET, they most likely will prefer one gender over the other. We've done a tremendous amount of economic analysis with Dr. Jim McGran, retired economist from Texas A&M, where we've looked at all these different beef production scenarios. And in each of those scenarios, at what point is sex semen a good idea? At what point, when you sell your females or your males, are they worth more than the other one? It has to be a minimum of $150 according to his analysis. In each one of those production scenarios, if that gender is worth at least $150 more than the other one to you, then sex semen's a good idea. So we let the mathematics prove that. We don't take my word for it. The one at the bottom is really interesting too. The cost of the semen relative to the cast value is very low, but seldom expressed this way. You think about that $1,500 calf you just produced. How much of that $1,500 calf was the straw, the sex semen that it took to create it? What, 2% of the value? Genetics are cheap, and that's a good example of it. The return on investment of sex semen is very attractive with an increasing gender difference. That's obvious. But the one on the bottom is interesting. Higher cost per straw and slightly lower conception rates are overcome by an increased percentage of the desired gender. So you can afford a slightly lower conception rate, which these gentlemen are going to talk about, because you're going to get a higher number of calves on the ground that are the gender that you need. So we're moving into the pig industry. We are getting into sorting swine. We're pretty excited about that, because, and I hope I have nothing to do with that, but all production sows get bred through AI, and they have 3 litters a year. In the EU, they're about to outlaw the castration of all livestock species without the use of a local anesthetic. So it's going to be a lot easier for those people to produce gills. You think about every time you flunk that calf and throw him down, if Donald Brown has to pay 2 or 3 other people to go to run over there with a needle and put a bunch of lidocaine around that scrotum before they cut it, that's too much labor. A lot easier just to produce the gender that doesn't allow you to do that. So where do you get sex semen? Well, we make... where do you use sex semen? First of all, we make 2 different kinds of straws for 2 different purposes, not just male or female. Okay, we make 2 different straws based on how many cells are in that straw. We make a straw that's got 2.1 million cells in it. We make one that's got 5 million in it. You hear sometimes, oh, you can't flush with sex semen. That's completely not true. It is true if you're using the wrong concentration straw. But we make a 5 million dose straw that's what it is intended to be used for. A lot of you in this room have used it. That's what it's used for. If you're going to do IVF, you only need a 2.1 million dose straw. If you're going to AI with it, you can use either one, the 2.1 million or the 5 million dose. I'll answer this question before it's asked. A lot of people say, why did you pick 2.1 million cells in a straw to AI with? Well, back before my time, when they were doing all the research on this product, they tried to answer that question. It was done in dairy, but they looked at a lot of different bulls and they looked at a lot of different concentrations of the straw, a 2 million, a 3, 5, 7, and 10 million dose straw. The biggest difference in conception rate was not the dose of the straw, it was the bull that was used. So bulls that had good fertility, good strong semen, gave you the same conception rate with a 7 million as they did with a 10 million within standard deviation. So we can make a lot more 2.1s than we can a 7. That's the reason we went with it. So where are you going to get sex semen? Well, you can purchase it from one of the major stud companies that are here today. You can buy it from someone else that had it made on their bull, or you can bring it to sexing and we can make it. It's a lot easier to bring it to the bull studs and have them do it, or buy directly from them. Every single day, there's more beef bulls with sex semen available. A few myths and facts. Willie, I think I'm keeping to my time. I love the second one. I hear that all the time. All the females swim faster than the males. That's not true. They all look like they don't know where they're going. They all swim the same speed. The very bottom one is interesting too. When I've talked to some beef operators, they say, you know, I'm not sure about sex semen. I'm going to wait until it's a little bit more proven. Well, we've made, 12, 13 million straws of that stuff now? If it works in dairy cattle, I promise you it'll work in beef cattle, and it is. It's just that we don't do as much AI in the beef industry, but that is changing. And we believe this is a product that will change that. The third one down, every bull semen can be sorted. Most of them can, but a few of them cannot, because a few of them do produce sperm cells with way too many head or tail issues. I also hear, too, a lot of people say, oh, they have to put the semen in a centrifuge and they spin it around real fast and they run it through what looks like a coffee filter. The females stay at the top because they're fatter. The skinny males go through the coffee filter. That's not true. You guys saw the machines. You saw how it happens every day right there. It's pretty straightforward. So I'm going to end right there, and you're going to get on to the sexy stuff from these guys and hear some actual results on the ground, real world numbers. So any questions I can answer about this part?